Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Sitting across from me, as usual, is Mike Costantino.
Good morning.
And we have with us today a brilliant woman. Mike's going to introduce her. Joe Kelleher is going to be calling in. We're going to be talking about what we call the war on women, or the war on women's reproductive rights and the control of their lives, really.
Yeah, it's all about, and I think Joe is going to say, Joe Kelleher is going to be our guest, and it's going to be all about control. Joe is an educator most of her life. She began teaching in 1963. She's been a principal and a superintendent, and she's on the Chino Valley School Board, certainly here in Arizona. She's been in Arizona 16 years. She's been real active in politics, local politics, state politics. She was a candidate for a state senator.
Her Republican opponent said that of all the people that he had ever run against, she was the one that he wouldn't have felt bad losing to.
Yeah,
she had that quality of a candidate.
She's a fiery candidate. Do we have her yet? Are we okay? Hey, Joe. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
You're there. I didn't know if you were listening in or not.
I was listening, yes.
Trying to say nice things about you.
You got a lot of snow over in Chino Valley, or not so much?
We have a lot of snow here in Chino Valley. I think we had a total of about a foot.
Wow.
Easily.
Yeah, very exciting.
School districts are closed. That's one of the worst one I've experienced since I've been here in Arizona, but I still love Arizona.
We're talking about the war on women, the war on women's reproductive rights, the war on their...
Specifically the GOP's war on women. There's probably, some women could talk about, there's been a war on women since time began, but...
Exactly.
No, it's not symmetrical, certainly. I mean, it is. And it breaks out. What's your take on it, on the broad issue? And particularly, I think Mike really wants to focus on what's happening here in Arizona, because there's some astonishingly horrible legislation.
Let me just mention, I've been thinking about it, ever since since the battle started, and I was glad to hear from Member Governor Mike Dukakis. We heard from him through the media over the weekend, and he, when he was interviewed, said, "I'm just scratching my head, saying, wait a minute, haven't we already won this battle years and years and years ago?" And that this is what's the most appalling to me, is that here we are fighting it all over again, so many decades later. Let me tell you a personal story, if you don't mind.
Well, it was a battle 100 years ago, and we just thought it was a conversation 30, 40 years ago.
It was a civilized conversation, as Governor Dukakis mentioned. He was a young representative in Massachusetts, and he was one of several people in politics and government who fought for women to gain the right to make reproductive choices.
And reproductive choices, that becomes an issue. I think the Planned Parenthood was originally formed, different name, in 1921. It's been around for a long time.
It has.
Gets the name Planned Parenthood in 1942. This is not a new organization or a new issue.
I saw in an Arizona Republic article that 78% of Arizona women believe that family planning should be part of every insurance program.
Absolutely.
That's... Right. 78% of Arizona. We don't even mention the 98% of Catholic women that practice birth control. So I'm
exactly. Story. Back in 1968, I was a young woman of 25, newly engaged, and I was Roman Catholic, but my future husband and I had decided we were not going to have children right away. So I was in need of birth control, and I still remember to this day going into the doctor's office for the prescription. And back then, he asked me, all right, you're engaged, you're going to be married. And I understood that was part of the deal. That was how I was going to get the birth control pills. Now, that was a little bit of a humiliating interference back then.
Sure.
Piece of cake compared to what Debbie Lefkoe's bill would do today. So that's what I find so appalling.
It was humiliating, to go into the doctor, right, was humiliating because you had to explain
stuff you didn't really want to explain to
in
great detail. Your social and political, moral beliefs rather than medical beliefs. And I think women were humiliated even going and getting birth control pills in a pharmacy. Republicans seem to want to return to that. So you go to a pharmacy and the pharmacy has a right to say, well, we don't believe in birth control, so we're not going to give you any birth control pills. It's a situation for humiliation and kind of a shock.
It is, right?
Like all our issues, Joe, this occurs on a national and there's always on a state and a local level.
Right, and it's historical, too, Mike.
Go ahead.
It's an issue of control. You know, I read a lot of women's history, and men have been fascinated throughout history with women's reproductive capacity, their sexuality.
I've heard that.
And they want to control it. And today they're using politics to try to do that. And it's, you know, as a woman, it's just infuriating to me that we have to deal with this.
Once again, a bit less historically, the Republican sweep in 2010, a lot of Republican legislatures nationwide,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like in a lot of those legislatures, that's exactly what they're doing. They're going after, for whatever reason, women's reproductive rights.
And
in Arizona, we're calling it House Bill 2625.
2625 is the one that Representative Lesko sponsored, and it's just, you know, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny. I mean, actually, you know, writing in a bill what a woman has to say to her doctor and the proof that she has to bring to get birth control pills, that she's got some kind of a, you know, physical problem. It's ridiculous. I mean, it just transcends any understanding.
It's more insulting than if they just directly tried to ban it, right? Because they're going to put you through a whole series of hoops that are just don't make any sense. They're accumulation of bureaucratic requirements,
right?
That interfere with your ability to talk with your doctor.
Right. Well, I think they understand, in not attempting to ban it outright, I think they understand that women basically, you know, would not tolerate that, and hopefully they're not going to tolerate any of this nonsense.
You think women will really draw the line on us? It's too much interference. It's not anyone's business, but they're...
Exactly. I'm very optimistic that women will rise up against this.
I want to read what the ACLU in Arizona said about the bill. The bill goes beyond guaranteeing a person's right to express and practice their faith. Don't forget, both statewide and nationwide, the other side is presenting this as a war on religion.
Exactly.
But Anjali Abraham, a lobbyist for the ACLU, told the Senate panel that it goes beyond a person's right to express and practice their faith. It instead lets employers prioritize their beliefs over the beliefs, the interests, the needs of their employees.
Exactly.
In this case,
and not only that, but then to impose their beliefs on their employees.
That's right, and only female employees.
The services that they need. Right.
And it's already cleared the House, and it's on its way to the Senate.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So let's hope that more intelligent heads prevail and we can put a stop to this.
And there's a new organization that I was reading about, the LLWL, Liberal Ladies Who Lunch. And they have access denied protests.
Well, those have been around for decades, too. And in a perverse way, I'm kind of glad this has come up because it gets us back on our horses again. And we realize, you know, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, as Andrew Jackson and many others said.
They have a slogan.
Got to get back on the horse again.
They have a slogan. If our reproductive choices are denied, so are yours.
That's a good one, too.
Liz Estrada. Yeah.
So what can women do, Joe?
Well, most women who have a computer have probably got, you know, scores of emails asking them to sign up for this and sign up for that and put their signature to this and that petition, to write email and call their legislators and just, you know, demand that this nonsense stop.
If there was one thing...
So obviously there's that. And then the other thing that we can all do is, you know, November... it's coming. November 2012 is coming, and get out there and vote. And, you know, let the politicians know with your vote that women's rights, you know, will not be abrogated. We won't stand for it.
What would be the one most important thing women could do who feel this is an intrusion by a Republican ministrations and representatives at all different levels of the country. What is there one central thing they can do?
Yep, vote them out.
That's succinct for sure.
And the other, not to be too facetious, and then to look at, if you don't have a Democratic candidate, look at a moderate Republican candidate, and there are some, bless their hearts, who also realize that this is wrong as well.
In Huntsville, Alabama, they had a rally yesterday, and the Republican Women for Choice were there.
Yep, exactly, yeah.
They were there, and it was a beautiful thing, actually. They, they didn't have a big crowd, but they certainly had a passionate one. And
right.
So at least the women are coming out. As I cruise around the internet and Facebook and chat with my women friends, I keep on asking, where are the women? And now they are asking the same thing.
Right. Well, as I said, you know, we thought we had won this battle, and just goes to show that eternal vigilance.
Women.
Now, you know, if I may, Mike and Steve, can we talk about the other one, HB 2800, which
sure.
also is infuriating to me, because this is the one that would virtually eliminate the ability of Planned Parenthood to help women in general, but poor women and poor rural women in particular. And I hope that women, even if they don't happen to be poor and rural, realize we've got to help our sisters in this case as well.
By the way, poor women defines a student, by the way, as a...
It defines students. It defines,
exactly.
You know, young women, newly married women who are just starting out.
Exactly.
You know, women who may be raising their children alone. For so many of them, Planned Parenthood is the only health care that they, you know, that they can afford. And so this is an attack not only on women in general, but poor women in particular, which is unconscionable.
Yeah. The poor are always more vulnerable. You know, if you have enough money, you can basically
right. you
move
can
anywhere in the world
the
you want
you need,
and
right.
do anything you want. Well, you can't, but you can certainly do a lot more than the rest of us.
Right.
Planned Parenthood, I noticed they spent 3% of their effort on abortion services, stuff
exactly.
like 35% on contraceptive issues. What is the rest of the
health,
activities of Planned Parenthood?
Basic health screening, breast cancer screenings, just general women's health. I mean, you can walk into a Planned Parenthood office, and no matter what health issue you have as a woman, you know, they will deal with it. And the money for abortions does not get mixed in with the other finances. That woman that you quoted from the ACLU pointed that out clearly, but the Republican right tends to, you know, make up their own facts and statistics and things of that nature. So, you know, there is no commingling of the funds that support abortion services and those that support other health services. And it's the other health services that are the overwhelming majority of what they provide for women.
It must have taken a lot of gumption back in 1921 to even talk about reproduction as a political issue.
Right.
Planned
right.
Parenthood did.
Well, it was women, you know, I'm thinking of Margaret Sanger and some of the others back then that did take those first courageous steps.
Yeah, Margaret Sanger's the TV special I saw years ago was that Tell Jake to Sleep on the Roof. The woman was faced with death if she had another pregnancy, and
right.
that was the doctor's advice,
right.
was to tell her husband to sleep on the roof.
Right. Yeah.
To avoid a terminal pregnancy that would kill her.
Kill her right.
We've got 1 minute left, Joe. My wife wanted me to mention that it will be legal, I guess, in both South Dakota and in Arizona for a doctor to lie to the woman and say that the fetus is perfectly normal when it has serious, it has Down syndrome or some other sort of profoundly
exactly.
So,
right,
so then the government is ordering the doctor to lie or withhold
right.
information from the woman?
Right, to withhold information about the health of the fetus and then to protect that doctor from any kind of lawsuit later on if, you know, due to that withholding of information or, as you so aptly put it, lying.
Rally in Flagstaff on the 23rd of this month. Are you going to go? The voters' attitudes on women's health issues.
It's the 23rd of this month,
yep.
And where is it located?
Flagstaff.
Oh, great. If I can get through the snow,
check with your friend Harry Young about that. All right.
Thank you very much for being with us, Joe Kelleher. You've been
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.